We live in a world of plenty of evildoers in this day and age. I think that's why this particular psalm could be useful to us. People get all excited because of evildoers. Generally speaking, an evildoer is someone who would take something and break it, perhaps into pieces. They would spoil something and ruin it in some way or another. It might have to do with maybe someone coming and breaking windows, or it might have something to do with those in high office who would spoil the way of things for people. It might have to do with somebody who's rich. It might have to do with somebody who's just ornery. But an evildoer is much of the theme of this. We have elections going on, and there are those who are concerned with evildoers with relationship to elections that are happening. We had a friend that was in Arizona who stood 2 hours in line to vote and found out that he had registered as an independent about 10 years ago, which means that in the primary he couldn't vote, and he'd forgotten. So it's interesting how things happen, and there was a lot of discussion about people being turned away because they were independents and they thought there was a lot of shenanigans going on. Could have been, maybe not have been. Maybe it had been something like this. We have no idea. We have all kinds of concerns that face people, and if you look on the evening news or listen to the radio or look on the computer with this and that, they seem to make their money best when they can find something that has to do with evildoers, and like to bring it up to speed so that you're well informed in this or that, whether it's true or false. This portion of Scripture says that we are not to fret ourselves because of evildoers. And the idea of fretting has to do with you get a little bit hot and bothered over something this or something that, whatever it happens to be. The term is a little bit stronger than that. It talks about someone burning or being inflamed or something that's kindled with regard to a matter. And it's tied to the word anger when you're inflamed or you're in some way hot and bothered over a matter. And so this matter of becoming heated is an issue that the Scriptures are saying, don't let this worrying and chafing get a hold of you, because in the first place, the Lord has his hands on things and he deals with things. And so I can see where we would be concerned, and we might take certain precautionary actions in our own lives with regard to something that would be that would cause us to come to an issue as with regards to evildoers. But most of the time, the evildoers are out there, and they're not standing right beside us. But sometimes they are standing beside us. With all this in mind, we're not to fret because of evildoers. There's a lot of wicked people in this world, and quite frankly, you and I started out that way until we were born again. And so we need to be careful where we throw the rocks, because we probably deserve to get hit 2 or 3 times our own selves regarding the things of the past. Now, with this passage that's here, this first verse, we're getting stuck on it, but that's okay. It's the main thrust of the psalm. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Now, envy has to do with becoming pained because of what somebody else has. And usually in this case, when we're talking about envy, we're talking about a disposition of being distracted. I guess one of the biggest envies that take place in our world today, at least that's what's being published in our media, is that there's all these people out there with all this money, and they're rich, and I don't have it. I don't have what they have, at least, is the idea. And that's not nice. I mean, I should have it. Even if they lose it all, I should have nothing else, bring them down so they suffer like I do. And this is part of the idea of envy that would be there. There are those out there who even think that way. At least that's what we're told as we read in the media. So we become worried because others are prosperous, others seem to be successful, and we're not, at least not to the same degree. And so when we come to this idea of be thou envious, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, we need to keep in mind that these folks who are doing all these bad things appear to have all these benefits that come their way because of what they're doing. Be careful, because if you were to gain what they gain and did it the way they did it, in some way to take it away from them, it might well be that you should be maybe classified as an evildoer or a worker of iniquity yourself. And then verse 2 comes into play, and we need to be careful. For they shall soon be, what's that says, raised up and put on a throne? What's it say? They'll become stronger and stronger and more flourishing there in verse 2. Is that what it says? You see, those who are evildoers and those who are workers of iniquity will have an end result in their lives, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. So we need to be careful with this idea of envy in particular, because they may have certain things and we don't have certain things, but in verse 3 we're told to trust in the Lord. Not only trust in the Lord, but the idea is when we trust in the Lord, as we take this Old Testament concept and go to a Hebrew dictionary, the idea of trust is to go into, in a matter of a great haste, to a place of refuge. So you think things aren't going so well, trust in the Lord. Take refuge in the Lord. Go with haste to take refuge in the Lord. And also, the second part of that is to do good. So we have workers of iniquity, and we're admonished to do good. We're admonished to do that which is right, and that which is appropriate, that which is clean and pure. We need to trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Well, we have to keep in mind a little bit here. The book of Psalms is written to which group of people? It's written to the Jews, okay? And the Jews were assembled as a nation, and they were given a land, a place in which to dwell. While God owned the land, they were given pretty much title deed to various sections for their own personal selves, and both as tribes and as individuals. So we have to be understanding that while Israel was able to gain that certain promise and benefit, believers in Christ Jesus aren't promised land, because the kingdom in which we are a part of is where? Okay, it's kingdom of heaven. So while there may be some fruitfulness that would be something we could touch and hold and grasp later on, we're not in heaven. We're not in heaven. And so Israel would be the one who would dwell in the land. But the idea of being fed, that is promised to us, isn't it? Did Jesus talk about the birds of the air and the feather and such? Can't paraphrase it tonight. But the food is provided to them, isn't it? And God provides it to them, and he spoke to his disciples regarding the birds. That's the lesson, that he will take care of them. So there, the food is a direct turnover towards us if we trust in the Lord and do good. But so shalt thou dwell in the land. I guess we have clothing on our back. We are pilgrims, though, aren't we? So a permanent land-based thing may not be something that we would overly look forward to. A pilgrim doesn't really settle down technically in any sense. They are passing through, headed for a location, which is heaven. And so this might not be something you want to hear, because if you've owned land since you're 10 years old because you inherited it and you expect to die on it, you'd say, I own that land. Well, the theory is that God does provide us that opportunities, and generally speaking, as a citizen of this world, a citizen of which is here, land oftentimes is to our benefit, but as to be a permanent project, that's not ours, and what we have has been entrusted to us, at least for the temporary. Sometimes people's temporary is longer than others. It depends on who. We have here, trust in the Lord and do good, and thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. And then not only to trust, but and the idea of being fed has to do with the idea of the tending of a flock. That is built into the word. So we have the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Okay, we have that psalm. We have other passages which speak of being fed the word of God, and there's definitely food that's involved in this. So we will be tended to by the Lord as He would so be pleased, and as we would be best benefited from His point of view. So trust in the Lord and do good. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. To delight yourself in the Lord is that has to do with our willingness to, the idea of the word that's in the dictionary has to be soft and pliable. Well, think about this. If you're going to delight in something, you're going to be soft and pliable towards the attraction that this has to you. You're going to be drawn to it. Someone that isn't soft and pliable to a Jordan's ice cream cone isn't going to be stopping there. They're going to drive by and not even blink an eye. But somebody that is drawn to or delight themselves into something like that, there might be a terrible, you have to really hang on that steering wheel to keep it from turning in when you're going by and heading towards Katanning from here. And so that's part of the idea, delight thyself, luxuriate. It might be also concept there, delight thyself also in the Lord. And so the focus of this, the object of our delighting, has to be the Lord. That's the point of all of this phrase that's here. If we're going to delight in something, the something is the object of that delight. And in this case, we delight ourselves also in the Lord. And He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Why do we come here to pray? The desires of our heart has to do with the requests that we make to the Lord. We delight ourselves in Him, know what is pleasing in His sight, know where the blessings come from, and know the manner of blessings that should be laid out and available to us, so we would then, He will give us the desires of our heart. That would be an answer to prayer, wouldn't it? Very possibly. It's just the means of which we operate as a church. We have certain desires, as far as the welfare of our church, and we pray about it, and we delight ourselves in the Lord, we find that He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now remember, when we're looking at this, we started out with fret not thyself because of evildoers in verse 1. Now, where are your desires? Are your desires for the thing that the evildoer has? And the wicked possess their works? Is that what our desires are? Or are we fretting because of that and focusing our attention and wasting our time with hurt and anger and temper and fire building up within us because of these things? Or are we going to trust in the Lord, another focus, direction of attention, delight ourselves in the Lord, another focus and direction? Or we can go down to verse 5, and it says, commit thy way to the Lord. So what is our focus? What do we spend our time thinking about? Where do we place our thinking so that it comes out in a manner of effort? Now, the way has to do with the course of your life. Okay? And when we commit our way unto the Lord, we're going to roll ourselves over into that way and get ourselves out of the ditch. We're going to roll the work over so that it's going to be in the direction of the things of the Lord and get ourselves in a proper direction. And the last part of that verse continues on. Trust, not only do we commit our way, but we trust also in Him. And so here we are, we're going to go in haste to the refuge in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. So what way are we going? Going in the Lord's way. If we commit ourselves towards that, we then go in haste to the refuge that is within Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Where else is there blessing anyway? There is no blessing. If we're not interested in the way of the Lord, then we're interested in the way of the wicked. We're interested in the way of the evildoers. We're interested in the way of the workers of iniquity. It's one or the other. It's black and white. And we have to keep that in our mind, and we have to keep it before us. So here we are to trust in the Lord, delight thyself also in the Lord, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust in Him also, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. So the moral goodness is going to be seen by others, because you're on the right path. The verdict of all the accusations of everybody that's out there saying, ha ha, look at this guy, Mr. Do-Goody Good. The Lord's going to show His verdict on that goodness. And remember, you go back up to verse 2 concerning the workers of iniquity, they shall be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. So if we're interested in the things of the Lord, He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, others will see it, and thy judgment as the noonday. And you'll notice that there is the implication of blessing that's involved there. So then, obviously, if we do that, then the next verse starts out in rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. The waiting has to do with we fear Him and not somebody else, not everything else. We wait patiently. Sometimes waiting patiently has to do with I'm in a tight spot, but I just, that's kind of like if my car breaks down, I have to call AAA. You never call AAA if you want them there in 2 minutes. Because it's going to take them 5 or 10 minutes to go call somebody else. And then they call you back, and then they'll tell you they'll be there in an hour or an hour and a half. They're coming from whatever city. When we're talking about waiting patiently, you might be in what you would consider an urgent or a stressful situation. You just calm down. Things aren't exactly the way you want it. Help will be there when it's supposed to be there in the proper manner, in the proper way. The rest, when you rest in the Lord, and all these things up in verse 1 and 2 are going on, you rest in the Lord. When you're resting, you're not constantly jabbering and tweeting and twittering about this and about that. You're not resting if you're doing that. The idea of resting in the Lord is act as though you're dumb. Now, I'm not saying stupidity is involved there. I'm saying your ability to speak stops. And so if the ability of speaking stops, that's dumbness. You just don't talk about it. You don't go into it and keep on going. You're quiet. You stop. You stop in the Lord. And wait patiently. Even though there might be a little bit of anxiety or stress that's there, you just resign yourself. It's going to be that period of time, whatever the Lord has and has decided. And you wait patiently for Him in whatever it is that He would do. So we'll finish out that verse. And we'll be done. It says, fret not thyself because of him who prospers in the way. The idea of this is, well, let me finish the verse. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Basically, you don't get yourself all angry and blazed up and full of zeal and jealousy. That's what's going on because of him who prospers. Really, the guy who prospers is the guy who is seen in whatever he's choosing to do. He's push forward. You don't like what he's doing, but he's pushing forward. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. He has plans of evil intent. Folks, how many people out there seem to have plans of evil intent in relationship to this is what God wants and this is what they want? So, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass, he has evil intent, and he's working on it, and he's carrying it out. But one of the things that I don't have time to go in and check out here is that one of the things that these people seem to have who are wicked and such is that, and it talks about their prosperity. What happens is that when it talks about prosperity, it says they have lots of people around them. There's lots of commotion. There are crowds. There's this and that. They're gathering all of this together. But they're, you know, think about this. Birds of a feather do flock together. You want that kind of prosperity in your life? All of the wicked things that are going on, the evil devices, all of their iniquity that they work on. Do you want that kind of a prosperity? Now, from a distance, it may look like it's really great. Boy, they're popular. They have all these friends. And here I am sitting by myself in the pew on the far end of the church. It's poor me situation. Evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. Verse 9. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that we can meditate on this a little bit. Father, I pray that the rest of this book will be also of blessing should someone have time to look at it. But help us, I pray, that we fret not, to keep in memory, to keep in mind that the fretting gets us nowhere, but committing our way to you, trusting in you, resting in you, that we would realize where the real focus of our life needs to be, will give us peace. And Father, we need it. We need the peace. Even as many of the people in the world would go about to one another and say, Shalom, peace. The real peace comes from you. And as we would trust in you, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.